turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21, starting at verse 1. Here we go. Are you ready? And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you'll find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught against thee, you shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughters of Zion, Behold, the king comes unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, and a foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded. Now, just to just get you going here, found in this passage are some of the greatest secrets to the success of the Christian life. We've been talking about our whole, the idea of the parables of Scripture. And we said if you didn't know that first parable, you couldn't find the rest of them. Well, found within this passage is not only a narrative of what's going on, as Jesus is riding in on the triumphal entry, as he's coming into Jerusalem, the things that happen coming out of here, but there's also the parable that exists within it. There's a parable here. And I'm just going to touch on a few of these things. Like, for instance, when he comes out of this town, you know, he's about to go to this tree. We're going to read here shortly that as he comes, if we looked at Mark, we would see in Mark's description, we would see that Mark shows us that it was a two-day thing. That he came on the first day and cursed the tree, and the next day they saw that the curse had taken place and the tree had died. But those things are easily, you know, understood as we read scriptures, you know, because they're just trying to tell these stories from perspectives. And so anyway, as he's coming to this tree, which is going to be extremely important, you may miss the points of scripture if you don't dive into it. Now, let me just say this to you that are here, and you know that I'm a stickler about this. There are many people that all they want to do is have a confession of Christ with no evidence of Christ. There are churches that today are teaching that. They're teaching their people to just come. Your greatest effort is to be connected to their church. And if you're part of their church, you're part of something. And you make the confession, dive in the swimming pool, come back up. Stay the same way you were. Jesus tells us something very, very descriptive here. He is extremely clear within this passage as to how it's supposed to look. And he is on his way to Jerusalem. He's going, Jesus is leaving, and he's going to Jerusalem. For those of you that are new, maybe you just got saved, I'm going to try and stay simple with this because it's a very deep technological concept. And at the same time, I want to reach out to those of you who would like a little extra. And so if you're new and you're just getting started in things of God, or you just turned your life around, you should love the Word of God. Amen. Look at somebody and say, love the Word. Don't just read it. It's not just a story. It's more than a story. It's alive. It lives. He said, my words are spirit. And they are life. Inside this book is spirit and life, your life. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. When he's speaking, when this scripture is speaking, he is guaranteeing us a life. He said, I came that you might have life and have life more abundantly. He's guaranteeing us a higher level of life. You know, when you come to Jesus, you've got to understand, many people come to Jesus and all they came for, all they ever got was salvation. Their sins were forgiven. And so they accept that. They accept that Jesus forgives them of their sins. They've gone there. But there's far more. Look at somebody and say, there's far more. Jesus did not just come to save you of your sins. He did not just come so that you and I could go to heaven. I'm good with that. Don't know about nobody else. I'm good with that because I don't want to go to hell. Amen. Look at somebody and say, I don't want to go to hell. Amen. Say it with an attitude. I don't want to go to hell. I ain't going to hell. I don't care about nobody else. I ain't going to hell. I'm telling you, man, if for no other reason, I want to get saved because I ain't going to hell. Hallelujah for that. But if that's all you get, you missed out on a lot. You didn't get everything God intended for you to get. You missed out. That's like just looking in these scriptures, and there's so much depth, so much information, so much beauty that exists within the scriptures, so much validation and verification of God and Jesus sitting within the pages of this scripture. And so I encourage you that you not only accept Jesus as Savior, but how about as healer? Somebody ought to shout out amen. Jesus is my healer. Look at somebody and say, Jesus is my healer. I shouldn't just accept him as my Savior. There's more. God wants to heal me. He wants me to live a life of healing. You know, I was excited about going to Charlotte with my kids. But I mean, and like I said, I'm glad I'm saved. But you know, it was nice to eat a steak. I even got me some Starbucks while I was up there. You might know what I'm talking about? Beloved, I came that you may be blessed, is what he said, right? Right? Even as your soul prospers, that you may prosper and be in health. Even as your soul prospers. God wants you to prosper spirit, soul, and body. God wants you to be healthy, and he wants to provide for you financially. And everything that Jesus did on the cross is available to you. This is important because at the very foundation, very crux of what we talk about, if you not only, you know, you're willing to accept, many are willing to accept salvation, but they stop right there. They just stop right there. They don't go any further than the cross, and they just end it all right there. Man, I want you to go further than that. I'm so glad when people come to Family Worship Center because I get to teach them that it isn't just a confession. Amen. It isn't just you confess Jesus and that's it. There's a glory to glory to glory. God changes us, and there's provision, and there's healing, and there's deliverance, and there's setting us free, and all that God wants for us, but I have to accept all of it. Amen. I have to accept my healing. Yes. Amen. I have to accept my prosperity. I have to accept my salvation. But if I don't accept them, I don't receive them. I mean, it's just that simple. And so let's go on to verse 7. And they brought the ass and the colt to him, put the clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from trees and strewn them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when they had come to Jerusalem, now notice Jesus is leaving Bethphage. He's going to Jerusalem. He goes back to Bethany and then returns to Jerusalem. This is what we know from Mark. Now you may not understand this, but he's on the way in two locations that exist. I want you to think, I'm not going to go too deep into this, just want to get you excited. The word Bethany means an unripe or the house of the unripened olive. Or fig. I'm sorry, the house of the unripe fig. The house of the unripened fig. And in Bethany is where the laws of the Sanhedrin were put in place. That's where they gathered. Now, if you don't know about the Sanhedrin was the Israel court. The Supreme Court of Israel it existed in two locations. The first location was Jerusalem. In that place is where the religious edicts were prescribed. In Bethany, the house of the unripe fig was where the laws were given. Jesus is leaving the ineffective law, headed to the messed up religion. I don't think anybody gets wrong. And on the way, stops at the tree, and all it had were leaves. See, if we're not careful, I just briefly touch this. If we're not careful, we'll have the plumage but have no fruit. Oh, my goodness. You can have the look of God and not have any fruit. In the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned, they went looking for fig leaves to cover the sin. When Jesus came, he wasn't looking for leaves. He was looking for fruit. All right, I know that just, for those of you who like that, just were like, oh, that's good. Oh, well, you ain't heard nothing yet. That's why it's not, listen, we don't need to play around with the scriptures. There's a lot in here, man. Let's get serious about this stuff. Let's fall in love with God to the point we care about what's really in the text, man. Let's get in this thing. Don't be no fake Christian. Bear fruit. Anyway. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? He curses the tree. Never mind. So let's read on. Let's read on. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" The multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, Galilee." And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all those that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables and the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a place of thieves," a den of thieves. You've encamped a bunch of thieves in it. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the priests and scribes saw the wondrous things he had done, and the children crying in the temple and saying, "Hosanna, the son of David," they were sore displeased. And they said to him, "Hearest thou what they say?" And Jesus said to them, "Yea, have you never read?" Now he's quoting something here, but let's read it. "Have you never read?" He said, "Have you never read?" Jesus said, "Have you never read, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise." And he left them and went out to the city of Bethany and lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. He saw a fig tree in the way, came to it, found nothing on it but leaves only, and said to it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth and forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon the tree had withered. First thing is, you've got to accept what Jesus has done. Everyone in this room must accept everything to receive it. It's important to know, if you don't ever hear God wants you to prosper and that God wants to bless you, you're going to miss out on your blessing. Look at me. Just everybody look at me. Everybody in this place. God wants you to prosper. You might be sitting in this room living in a cardboard box. I don't know you. That is not God's intention. It never was God's intention. And God will deliver you from a cardboard box. Like I said, I thank God. When I went to Charlotte, God had blessed me enough that I got to pay for all the stuff my kids wanted to do. I even went to Toys R Us and bought them toys. Hallelujah. They were singing. They were shouting. Come on now. Because God wants to bless us, and he will bless us. But we must accept it. I want to encourage you today, sitting in this room, as I preach this message, I want you to think this way. I want this to be everything inside you. Say, I'm coming out in a grand style. Didn't nobody say it with passion? You know what I'm talking about? I'm coming out in a grand style. I mean, when I come out, everybody going to know it. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody going to see it. I'm going to move. I mean, you know, you think the Beverly Hillbillies had something. Wait till you see me. I mean, I'm moving on up. Come on now. Somebody ought to shout out amen. I'm coming out, man. And I'm coming out in a grand style. God wants to deliver me and make a message out of my life. God doesn't just want me wearing a WWJD bracelet. God wants me to be the WW. Somebody ought to shout out amen. And today, we need to know why we come to the house of God. Why do you and I come to this house? I mean, is it just to get three hymns in a hurry? Is it just a sermonette or a sermon? Is it just to see an offering taken up? Why do we come? Well, number one, let me suggest to you, the reason you and I come to church, I wrote this down, is to give the devil back what belongs to him. When you come to the house of God, you come with an expectation to give back to the devil what belongs to him and not to you. I don't know if you get it. See, when you walk in the house, we ought to be expecting fruit. Never mind. That's not my message for today. We're not just coming for the leaves. I came today because I know there's going to be fruit in the house. And when the word is preached, he sent his word to heal me. When I come, I'm expecting to deliver back to the devil what he put on me that don't belong to me. Somebody ought to shout amen. When I come and my wallet is empty, Jesus became poor that through his poverty, I could become rich. When that is preached in the house, when somebody tells me what God said, I'm going to deliver back. I ain't going to keep. I'm not going to keep. I don't want what don't belong to me. And when I come to the house of God, I plan on return to sender. When I get to jumping and I get to shouting, don't you understand? That's my postage. I'm putting some postage on the letter. I don't just do this for the show. I don't care whether you like what I do or not. I am making a postage stamp. Return to sender. I don't have to be sick no more. I don't have to be poor. I won't even go to Poe Folks Restaurant. I will not eat a Poe Boy sandwich. Anything related to Poe, I ain't having no more. I mean that. I'm not taking it. It don't belong to me. Jesus came and paid a price. What else? The second reason, I think another reason, realize I'm talking about receiving the word. It's not just coming for some poems. It's not coming for stories. We're coming for the word of God. Because when we come, we've come to eat from the table of the Lord. You and I came to eat from the table of the Lord. We came to drink the cup of his blood. Because that's the redemption of my sins and the deliverance of my life from hell. I came, and when I come to the house of God, I want to drink from the cup of the blood of the Lord. I want to sit at the table. You know, I mean, it wasn't just they were having a meal. God was showing them we are to partake of the blood and the body of Christ. I want to come and I want to eat of the body of the Lord for my healing. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. And when I come to the house of God, serve me a meal. Come on, man. Don't give me no snack. I don't want no wings. I want me some steak and gravy, man. Don't hand me no leaves. You can't eat no leaves. There ain't no food and no leaves. Give me the fruit. I want the fig. I wish somebody knew what I'm talking about. Oh, the blood of Jesus. I want what's flowing out of Emmanuel's veins to flow in me. I took a flower one time and I cut it off and put it in some red dye. It was a white flower, but before long the dye had gone up inside the flower and the flower turned red. You see, when you get a transfusion, you get a transformation. When you get a transfusion, what you fill yourself with will fill you with it. A tree cannot bear fruit of itself. God wants to infuse you. He wants to impart impart into you. He wants to embed in you. He wants to engraft in you his word. And when you leave, you had a meal. I ate from the tree of life. I had me some blood and some body of Christ. I didn't come and have another wrestling story. I came and had some word, man. Don't you sacrifice for emotional ploy. Don't you sacrifice for something other than real word. Come to get something. Get a meal. Get a meal. Come and eat at the table of the Lord. There's power in the blood. And that power and that blood will break every ordeal in my life. Somebody ought to shout out, I'm coming out. In grand style. Wait till you see me. Just wait till you see me. I'm coming out in a grand style. Yeah, they might have said I'm sick, but wait till I have my healing. Wait till I walk out and tell everybody what Jesus did for me. Wait till I tell how God took the tumor out of my head. Wait till I tell how God took blood pressure off of me. Wait till they find out that the next thing I found out is that, you know, there has to be a degree of desperation. Every time we see anybody receive anything from the Lord, there has to be a level of desperation, and the level of desperation will be equivalent to your deliverance. Your deliverance will be equivalent to your level of desperation. Take some degree. How do I know this? Well, let's turn to Mark 11, 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. What do they take? The kingdom. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it. What? The kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? Well, we know it's not meat and drink, righteousness, peace, and joy. We know that. But what did Jesus describe it as? He said, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, and I preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I could go on, but here's the kingdom of heaven. You're to live in the blessings of the Lord and in exactly what God said you're supposed to live in. And the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. Many of us are just too comfortable. We have become so comfortable with what we are in. Well, I'm not starving. Well, I'm not, at least. And we have stopped becoming desperate. We have stopped becoming determined to say, no more. I titled my message this morning, Just Say No. You got to just say no to living mediocre. You got to say no to apathy. You got to say no to not enough. You got to say no to sickness and disease. You got to stop being comfortable with it. But it's not as bad as it could be. What do you mean? That's not what God's described your life to be. God didn't say, I'll satisfy you with just enough. No, he said he'll satisfy us with good things and more. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I remember my dad, just as a story, had a stroke. He had a stroke at 41. And lost half of his body. And I remember at the same time, he came down with a severe, he already had it. They already had him on medication, which he wasn't doing properly with, which is why he had the stroke. But they had already diagnosed him with high blood sugar. And his biggest fear, y'all might not, it might not be yours, but it was his, was needles. He had a massive needle phobia. Back then, there wasn't a lot of ways to get insulin. They had the pill and they had the needles. And so he had to take these needles. And it wasn't like they were doing an intravenous thing. It was shots. And it was so bad that once he had the stroke, there was no option but to put him on insulin permanently and to give him this needle. Matter of fact, he wouldn't even give himself the shot. I had to give him the shot. Until he could figure out how to give it to himself. Just couldn't stand needles. I have never seen a man more determined to be healed of something than I saw my dad when it came to this insulin. That man got serious with God. He started praying, seeking God, doing everything he could. And you know God healed his diabetes? His sugar came in line and he was totally healed from diabetes. Now that's kind of an amazing story because, you know, rarely in the ministry, and this is just being real honest with you, I have rarely seen people healed of diabetes. And you say, why? I think because they become so comfortable with it. Never mind, I won't go there. I mean, it's manageable. Interestingly enough, my dad never regained his arm and his leg. Here's a man that got healed of a disease I have rarely seen people get healed of. And yet when it came to getting his arm, now here's the sad part. The doctors told him, if you'll go to rehab, you can get 90% of your mobility back. Told him you'll only lose the momentum of your foot this way and some other facet of his arm or something. He couldn't twist his elbow. I forget what it was. But he could get 90% back. He didn't even do the therapy enough to get the 90% back. There wasn't enough desperation because it was manageable. Now, that's the only way I know to describe you. Many of us today have become too comfortable with where we are in our lives. We've settled right where we are and said, well, I don't know if God really wants me to drive a better car. I'm not sure God really wants me to live in a better house. And so we have excused it away, but the real truth is God will give you the desires of your heart. I didn't say he will give you your envy. But he will put a desire in your heart. And I've known this as long as I've lived. I pastored this church. And every day I wake up thinking of how I can do better for God in this house. How can we grow this more? How can I produce more for the kingdom of God? How can the kingdom of God grow in my life? How can we do more for the kingdom? And every one of you, if you have Jesus in you, will have the same desire. God, how can you use me more? What can you do with me? How can my life resemble you more? How can I show people you better? And there comes a point where you stop being satisfied with the status quo. You stop living in the comfort of where you are. And that's going to take a level of desperation. I want God more. Amen. I don't just want to be leaves. Amen. Wow. I don't want to just have the plumage. It looked good. It drew men to itself. Men were drawn to it. Never mind, I'm not going there. But it had no fruit. God wants to bear fruit. Not only does he want to bear fruit, but he wants to bear more. Amen. See, everybody got quiet because everybody's sitting here thinking, you know what? He's right. He's right. I don't want to go to the pump one more day and have to check my bank account to see if I got enough. I don't want to come up this summer and think, gee, I'd like to go to the beach with my family. I sure would like to go to the hotel, but we only got enough money for Crystal Burgers. I got a great story about Crystal. Y'all want to hear my Crystal story? I drive up to Crystal Burger, right? I drive up to the drive-thru window. I pull up. I ordered 5 Crystal Burgers with cheese. They handed me, I think the guy in there must have really known me and hated me. And so he hands me my Crystal Burgers with cheese, and I take a bite out of the very first Crystal Burger, and there's a hairnet with hair in it. True story. I got out of the car and vomited. Not that y'all needed to know that, but. Okay, that was just, it didn't cost you nothing for that. That's free. It is particularly true about our desperation when it comes to our health heritage, our healing and our health heritage. If you are not a reactor, you will remain a victim. You see, there is a required amount of reaction. How many know that it's already been paid for? Everything you and I will ever need, Jesus went and paid the price for it. He paid for it. It's paid. And the truth is that you and I, to receive it, have to have a level of desperation. But more than that, we have to be willing to react in appropriate measure as well as to take deliverance. We have to take deliverance. It's just like thinking about it this way. If you and I, if it's already paid for and you gave it and you got the receipt, what would stop you from taking it? What would stop you from taking what's already paid for? What if you went to the store and you walked in the store and you decided that you were, you know, because you're going to take delivery, you paid for your item, you start to walk out the door and the store clerk runs up to you and grabs you and says, you can't take that. I mean, you have the legal right to take it. It's already been paid for. You're walking out the door with something you possess and own, and he says, you can't take it. Well, I don't know about nobody else. I'd probably slap him. How would you react? How would you react? What if you went and bought a brand new Mercedes? You went down to the Mercedes dealership, you bought your brand new Mercedes, paid $85,000 for your brand new Mercedes, right? You got the one with the convertible top, the shifter pad. Come on now, y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm talking go, go, go. You got the nicest one on the lot, red. And you drove it down to the Bilo to get you some donuts. Got out your Beamer. Went inside, you come back out and your Beamer's gone. Something you paid for, something you bought, something you own, something you possess, and it was taken from you. Oh, I'd be jumping up and down. I think I might cry a little bit. I hunt the parking lot, and the next thing, 911. And when the police got here, I'm like, you find that guy. Let me know where he's at. I'm going to smack him around. I want to hurt him. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? You'd be mad. You would be mad as a hornet. You'd be like, I mean, how could you take some? I worked hard. I pay for that. Doesn't he know? I mean, some guy that didn't even work for nothing comes in, steals what I worked hard for. I mean, he put nothing into it. If you've ever been there, if you ever had anything stolen, you're like, you know, I just gave it to him. You wouldn't have, but he just asked me for it instead of come stealing. He just come take it. Everybody knows exactly what I'm talking about. We've all said it, right? I'd have just gave it to him. If he needed money, I probably need him money more. I just gave him some money. He didn't have to come steal my stuff. And every day you and I do the same thing with what Jesus purchased for us. You have to understand, sickness is a stranger. Sickness is not what belongs to me. It's a stranger. It's a thief in my house. It's a thief to me. It's a stranger. It doesn't belong. And my reaction to that thief needs to be equal to my reaction of a stolen vehicle. Not just leaves. You need to just say no. Somebody yell that out. Just say no. No! Today I ask God to give you the grace, to have the grace upon you to say no, to just stand up with vehement violence to the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil and say no more taking my stuff. No more sickness. No more disease. No more malhealth. No more poverty. No more lack. No more problems in my family. No more marital trouble. I mean, after all, it's already been paid for. And the real truth is forcible delivery is necessary. We must have forcible delivery. You see, whatever Jesus has paid for, the only variable that exists for you and I to receive it is our forcible delivery. In other words, like, think about it this way. If Jesus paid for my sins, I received that. If there's a stranger in my house, which is sickness and poverty, and Jesus has already paid for everything, are you with me? Then the same day Jesus paid for my sin is the same day he paid for my health. The same day Jesus paid for my sin is the same day he paid for my prosperity. The same day. There's not another day. There's not another moment. It's already done. And so it is my forcible delivery that causes it to be taken. I must forcibly take it. My job is to enforce the delivery of it. Boy, if you didn't get that. Oh, my goodness. Let me say it over here. Maybe y'all get it. My job is to enforce the delivery. Divine health is not a luck thing. It is a response to the access of light and you walking in it. And my duty is to enforce delivery. Now get this, write this down, take notes, catch this. Because here is a key principle. I might even sing it. I might do that. What do they call that, hooping? I'm going to start hooping. Among the forces of delivery that you and I have access to, listed in these pages, they came with high, violent, fearful praise. You may never have seen this until today. You're going to see it today. When Jesus came riding into town, I don't have time to go into the whole religious aspect of it, but when Jesus came riding into town, they laid cloths before him and they began to praise him. This is what it says in verses 8 and 9. The magnitude or the whole multitude spread their garments in the way. And they laid them down and began to praise out, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." High praises of God rang out. And one of the things that you and I have is access to our ability to take delivery of God's best is through this idea of high praise, praising God. That's why I started this, by trying to get you guys motivated, because when we end it, you ain't leaving here without praising God. So, according to this, they praised him violently. They praised him at a high level. They praised him in a magnificent way. Then Jesus left there and went into the temple. And what did he do? He whipped out everything that was strange in it. What did I say that the sickness in your body would be? What is poverty in your body? When Jesus went into the temple, he whipped out. In other words, their violent praise caused a violent reaction. Oh, my Lord. Their high praise caused Jesus to react in a violent way against everything that was inaccurate in the temple. And you, according to the scriptures, in 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what? Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Your violent praise will cause God to do in your temple what he did in that temple. He will banish everything that is strange and that does not belong. He flogged out everything that invaded the temple and everything that bought and sold. He said, my house shall be called an house of prayer. And how is it that thieves have settled in it? See, you don't understand. Thieves have settled in your temple. Oh, my Lord. I pray that somebody in this room gets it. You're sitting here today and you may be sick. Something may be going on in your life. Don't you understand? You are the temple of the Holy Ghost and thieves have settled. Thieves have settled in your temple. Woo! and high praise will begin the conquest of every feat. How desperate are you? How desperate are you? How much do you really want it? Have you made up your mind? You're going to take delivery. Oh, my. Look at this. Every sickness is a thief. It came to steal your rights in Christ. Every disease is a thief. Jesus responded to their violent praise with a violent reaction to everything molesting their body. Listen to what it says here in Matthew 21:14. Immediately after he whipped out the money changers and the blind and the lame, put it up there, verse 14. I'm not talking about there was a time delay. Put it up, verse 14, put it up. There was no delay between they praised, Jesus whipped. Oh, my Lord. Hey, how many came for fruit today instead of leaves? How many of you came to eat from the table? The blood and the body of Christ. See, you got to get the point. What was unproductive and fruitless, Jesus said, this is the fruit. Oh, my Lord. Never mind. Let me make it even more clear to you. As you praise him today, I believe that everything buying and selling in you in your life, high blood pressure. Does it take your money? Come on, who's on a pill? Who's on a pill? How many of you, some of you are paying thousands. If you didn't have insurance, you'd be in the hole till you couldn't even get out. Is it buying and selling in your life? Oh, if you could only get what I'm talking about. How many of you can see exactly what I'm talking about? And I believe this morning as you begin to praise God, listen, we're going to leave out of here with a high praise in our mouth. That everything buying and selling in your life, high blood pressure, asthma, cancer, whatever is molesting and defiling your temple, the temple of the Holy Ghost, everything that is making you less human, whatever is humiliating your inheritance of total victory and vitality in Christ, as you break forth in wild praises today, I believe you are going to be cleansed in your life. Somebody's going to say no today. Oh, I wish somebody yelled that. Just say no. Come on, just say no. Somebody, no, no more, no more, no more. I'm not going to let the devil buy and sell him. No more. I'm not taking less. I'm not going to live diseased and broken down. I'm not living with lack and defilement. I'm not going to live there no more. God called me to higher places, deeper depth, further in God. He called my business to prosper. He called my marriage. Come on, somebody praise him. Praise him. Oh! down, sit down, sit down, sit down. Every true praiser, you can get mad at me if you want to. I sing because I'm happy. And I sing because I'm free. Oh, His eye on the sparrow. And I know He watches over me. Oh, Lord. Every true praiser supernaturally lives healthy. I've watched it over the years. I've watched it. I've watched people that dance when there's no reason to dance. I've watched people that shout when there's no reason to shout. I've watched people that yell out when everybody turns around and looks at them funny. And I've watched how God blesses them. How God just supernaturally transforms their life. And I've watched people who sit there like sticks in the mud and wallow in their self-pity and their self-problems and their challenges and talk about it all the time. And I've seen it just seems to get worse. They seem to struggle more and more. The way out is to take possession of what God has already done. If He's already done it, He's not gonna do it. You've got to take possession of what God has already done. You take possession by crying out in praise to God. The Bible says that a merry heart, there is no medicine you can take that does not have a side effect. Not one. That does not take something from you. It may give you benefit, but it will take something from you. It has some side effect. There is only one without a side effect, and that's healing in Jesus. It's the only one that gives and never takes. This thing is paid for. As you praise Him today, I believe that it's going to come through for you. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, and a broken spirit dries the bones. So the more joyful that a man is, the healthier he lives. I'll preach it over here. The more joyful that a man is, according to this scripture, I don't know, do y'all believe the Bible like I do? I mean, you might, today you may be sitting here in a world of pain and hurt. I don't know, you may be sitting here thinking, you don't know the pain I'm in. I can tell you this, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bone. You may as well be joyful in the midst of the calamity. You may as well be full of praise in the midst of your challenge. Yet, praise Him. Yet, praise Him. I wish somebody here would praise Him. I wish it. Your system is kept together by praise that comes out of your mouth. It's like a medicine. No mark, I speak this over you today, on your life remains. I say to you, expect a sudden turnaround. Jesus was casting out devils and spirits by His word. Every stranger in your life, I speak to you today and say it's coming out. You can either believe that or you can disregard it. You can either believe it today or you can just pass it on by. But I tell you today, by prophetic utterance, I believe today every stranger in your life is coming out. I told you at the beginning of this that there was a scripture that was referenced. You remember that? Let me show you this in Psalms chapter 8, verse 2. Psalms chapter 8, verse 2. You see, praise silences the enemy. Look at somebody and say, praise silences the enemy. Let's say it again. Praise silences the enemy. Psalm chapter 8, verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Silence it. That thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. All right, let's do it again. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies. It's the enemy, right? Thou hast, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Out of your mouth. Now let's go back and look. Now it says, Jesus went about doing good, healing all those who are sick and oppressed of the devil. Who's the one that's at work? Who's the enemy? The devil. Acts 10:38. Jesus went about doing good, healing all those sick and oppressed of the devil. So at the end of the day, the very core or the very root of sickness comes from the devil. Would you agree? That's the enemy. The thief comes to kill and to destroy. All right, so at the very root is the devil. That's what this scripture is talking about, isn't it? Isn't it? So it says, out of the mouth, out of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy. Now, here's what it says in Matthew 21:16. Get this. Are you ready? Matthew 21:16. Turn over there. Look at this. Matthew 21. And he said to them, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said to them, yea, have you never read? Out of the mouths. So the word ordained strength in Psalms is perfect. Did anybody just see that? Did anybody? Ding, 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 ding. There's your moment right there. Ding, ding. There's your sign. When he said ordained strength, the strength for the victory, to still, to silence the enemy, he quotes it again, and Jesus says, perfect praise. What is perfect praise? Praise at its highest. The highest realm of praise you can operate in. The highest level of praise. Extreme praise. Aerobic praise. Violent praise. Out of the mouths of babes and suckling hast thou perfected. You see, he was showing when they gave the kind of violent praise they gave, he whipped out the disease and healed the sick. Woo! 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 Somebody ought to praise him. Stand up and praise him.